right. It's your last one.
It's your last one, too. You're not recording without me.
That's true. But it's like, you're getting ready to leave. Like, it's go time, man.
That's true. I will be out of the office. You'll be in the office. But we will not be recording anymore.
That's fair.
So it's all of our last ones.
So we can all... That's good. I get to celebrate just as much as you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I was digging for a congratulations.
All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. Where we're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Mazeroff with me, as always, Pastor Jim Mazur.
How are you doing, Patrick?
And Noah Elise McCarter.
No, because it's Thanksgiving week, and she's like, I'm not coming in for that. And I was like, that's rude.
Pretty rude. Yeah. Yes, it's just the two of us.
The last week we're
recording until the new year. So, I mean, even though it's pre-Thanksgiving.
Probably into February. I mean, it's going to be a while. Yeah.
It might be a while. Yeah. But we, Beyond Sunday will be here.
Baby Watch is like coming to a close.
Baby Watch is coming to a close.
It is go time. You got your bag packed?
No.
Does Elise have, or Elise, does Kat have her bag packed? I don't, does Elise have her bag packed?
Elise probably does. Yeah. No.
Elise is always in a state of ready to go.
Kat does not.
Kat does not. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, we're ready to be done with the pregnancy stage. Not sure we're ready for baby stage. You know, if there's like,
sure.
Where's the in between stage?
That's like the 48 hours you get in the hospital. So there's that.
Yeah. I got to sleep in like a chair bed.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a great stage. I'm just saying that's the option that you've got.
Pretty rude that Kat doesn't even offer me her bed for
at least
a little bit.
Yeah. Come on, I'm there too. I'm also in the hospital.
Give me a nap.
I got a little wristband on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm basically patient.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Amanda. I love you. You are.
Yeah. I can't ask. Yeah.
Amanda doesn't listen, so it's fine.
that's fair. All right. Let's get into our news.
All right.
And then we're going to do what's in the Bible.
Is it Thanksgiving news? Is it
it's not Thanksgiving
Advent news?
It's not Advent news. I couldn't find Thanksgiving news. I also didn't look that hard.
Yeah, fair enough. Thanksgiving will be over by the
time. Well, then I'll also have an update on last week's draft.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
I mean, it's not a great update because our polls just went kind of live.
Yeah, like 4 hours ago.
Well, at least examine the polls.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how it's going.
This is from Wired.com. You can hire an Etsy witch.
An Etsy witch?
To curse Elon Musk.
I have to go to Etsy for that?
Where else are you going to get your witches?
I mean, I'm going to be honest. Of all the places to go find a witch, Etsy would not have been in my top 10. Like, if you had said, what website do you need to go to hire a witch? I was not going to come up with Etsy. That's
probably a Google. I don't necessarily have like a website in mind.
Yeah.
You know,
where can I find a witch?
Yeah, that's definitely. Yeah. Do I do regular Google? Google Maps?
Yeah.
I want to find a witch near me.
That's a good Google Translate. Can I translate this into witch language?
In the days following the presidential election, Riley Winkus was angry at Elon Musk for the role he played.
Okay. An interesting choice of where to, you know, direct your anger, but all right.
I mean, sure.
Got to go somewhere.
Not necessarily a huge fan of Elon Musk, but, you know,
sure,
like,
yeah,
you're angry.
I'm not here.
There's levels of anger, and that was not necessarily the highest level. I was feeling really existential about it. What could I do? You know, he's the richest man on earth. So she found a solution. She hired a witch on Etsy. How much do you think a witch goes for?
Mm.
Let's establish.
I'm going to say $250 a curse.
$7.99.
Like $7.99?
Correct.
She is underselling.
I you meant $250.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you meant $2.50.
If I'm cursing somebody, I'm getting paid. That's a lot of work. I don't know what the legal ramifications might be. I mean, you got to think supply and demand too, right? This is one witch offering the curse. There might be a lot of supply out there.
That's fair. I mean, I guess like how long does it take to do a curse?
I don't know.
And like, okay, if...
How much training have I had?
If 10 people hire me to curse Elon Musk, is that just one big curse or do I got to do it 10 times?
I think you got to do it 10 times.
Okay.
But maybe like 10 people hiring you makes one big curse more effective. I don't know how magic works. I don't understand.
I do have a witch story.
Okay. Like your own witch story?
You're ready for this.
All right. I'm ready. I'm buckled in.
In Houston, there's a Greek restaurant that I went to with some friends.
Uh-huh.
And next to that Greek restaurant is a witch store.
A witch store?
It's a witchcraft store for buying your witchcraft needs.
Okay.
And I parked. And I made a joke about the witchcraft store. I don't even remember the joke.
You got to make a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see it. You got to make a joke.
Went in, ate.
To the witchcraft store?
No. Went to the Greek restaurant. Ate Greek food. Came out.
Uh-huh.
And on my passenger seat, there was a dead bat.
What?
Yeah. On the seat. Like, not like hidden. It was on the seat. A dead bat. And one of my friends had ridden in my car. Did he still, like, you know, where did that bat come from?
I don't know. Was your car locked?
Yes.
Were your windows up?
Yes.
Witchcraft.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know.
The only logical solution.
Yeah. That, so I actually do know a place that I needed a witch needs, I could go there.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Yeah. You were, yeah.
It's downtown.
Next to a Greek restaurant.
Next to Nico Nico's.
Oh, there's a Nico Nico's up here.
Is there a witch store next door?
I don't know. They just opened it. So I maybe, don't think there is. Maybe they're
all Woodlands does not seem like a witch store place.
It's in Shenandoah, so, you know, maybe. No, no offense, Shenandoah. You're great.
Would you hire a witch to curse anybody?
Nah.
Yeah. That seems dicey.
Dabbling in the dark arts seems against my role as a pastor. Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out.
I feel like best case scenario is you're just out $8.
Right, or 250 if I'm charging you.
Worst case scenario is it's legit. Like it actually works. Right. And like I'm like tangentially related to, you know, curses and hexes and
to
all those things.
A dead bat landing on somebody's car.
Exactly, yeah. So, and then, yeah, I don't want... Elon Musk has more money than me, so he's going to be able to hire a lot more witches than I could.
That's a good point.
So, you know, if we're doing the cost to witch ratio, he's gonna trump me pretty easily.
if it's a curse off, he's got the edge. Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
maybe I don't know. Maybe witches have, you know, maybe they're like don't want to work with him though.
Oh, sure.
But I mean, this is like, you know, if you're selling curses for money, I think you're an entrepreneurial witch. Yeah. You know, you embrace the capitalistic system.
That's right. You're already in it. Okay.
There you go.
Well, perhaps this Christmas season, now you know what to get your loved one. You can get them a gift certificate to curse their enemies with this witch on Etsy. You could. Yeah. You can buy your Christmas ornaments. You can buy your hand-stitched stockings, and then you can buy a curse for your neighbor. That'll be great.
All right, so last week we did a Thanksgiving Day poll.
We did. Based on our Thanksgiving Day draft of who had the best plates.
Best draft. So to sum up, if you forgot, and how could you have, I'm sure it's all you've been talking about.
That's right. It's the talk of the week.
My plate is turkey, mac and cheese, carrots, pumpkin pie, and rolls.
Yeah.
Your plate.
Rolls were a solid choice on that one. Good
your
job.
Plate, turducken, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, pecan pie, and an apple bourbon.
Not apple bourbon. An apple bourbon cocktail.
Whatever.
That's not... Apple bourbon is not what I want. That's a different thing.
What's the difference?
A very different thing.
I don't drink alcohol.
That's fine. It's a different thing.
What's in the cocktail?
I mean, it would be a cocktail that has bourbon and then apple-flavored stuff in it, as opposed to an apple bourbon, which is not the same thing.
Whatever.
Okay.
Prime rib... This is Elise's.
Oh, Elise's, yeah. Elise's.
Prime rib, sweet potato casserole, stuffing, banana pudding, sweet tea. Yeah. Right, those are the plates.
Okay. So Elise is going to lose.
Currently is.
She's not here to defend herself. So I'm just going to go out and say, yeah, it's the.
So I put a poll on the church Facebook.
Yeah.
Right now.
And on our Instagram, you said, right?
Yeah, and I'll check both. I'm in the lead with 54% of the vote.
54. Barely a majority.
But out of three.
Oh, right. We're splitting. That's not good. Okay. I kind of forgot Elise was in this.
You're in second place with 27% of the vote, and Elise has 18% of the vote. Now, in fairness, there's only 11 votes so far, but I'm going to call it.
That's right.
It's time. CNN is calling it.
In true American democracy fashion, I'm in the win, or I'm in the lead. I call it right now. Yeah. That's done.
Yeah. Stop the count.
Stop counting.
If you want to concede, I accept.
I will not concede. I will never concede.
Okay. Now, I checked our church Instagram.
Oh, I haven't voted on there yet. Hold on. Don't check yet.
Right, I did vote on that one, but I will say this. I did not sign into the youth group Instagram and vote for myself.
Well, that's very great.
I at least voted just, you know, my vote. I didn't game the system. All right. Have you voted yet?
Yeah, I just voted.
Okay, that's come through. But anyway, I have 86% of the vote and you have 14% of the vote.
No, now you have 75% and I have 25% of the vote.
Okay.
Because I voted.
There you go. All right. So... It's looking good for Team Patrick. And also,
you had a solid plate.
In the soft polling leading up to the voting, and in the office, Patrick was pretty hands-on on the favorite.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people who are going to get fired. That's what can we say?
Wait till Thanksgiving. Like, you like that plate? You deliver them, you know, my plate with a note that says you're fired. You vote for this? Yeah.
You're fired. I like that.
You wanted that turkey? Get out of here.
Right. Here's your turkey. Now go.
All right. So let's get into what does the Bible say?
Okay.
And we have a variety of options here.
A holiday variety special. I love it.
Yeah. So we, at the time of putting this together, we couldn't think of any like big ones to kind of like, so we put together several small ones.
Yeah.
And then we also kind of brainstormed and thought of some new big ones.
We'll come back to those.
So maybe we'll revisit the, what does the Bible say about blank? Yeah. Maybe we won't. I don't know. But we
the
did
world
come up
is
with
our oyster.
A handful of others that we're like, I actually think that's an interesting question.
But they're, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So let's get into our scattershot today.
Our scattershot.
What are we going to hit?
So
lead it off.
And some of these came from Google when I typed in, what does the Bible say about? And just like saw what with the autofill options.
Yeah. Okay. I love it.
Number one. Tattoos.
Okay. What does the Bible say about tattoos?
You and I, neither one of us have a tattoo.
I do
that
not,
I know of.
I do not have a tattoo. Yeah.
Yes.
Do you not know about your own tattoos?
Well, I don't know if you have any hidden tattoos.
I do not have any hidden tattoos.
Elise
has tattoos.
Elise has tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think tattoos are beautiful on other people.
Yeah.
I do not want to be repeatedly stabbed with a needle. Like that's my thing. Like, I'm not opposed to the tattoo. I'm opposed to the idea of being repeatedly stabbed with a needle over and over for hours on end.
There's one that I want.
Okay. What do you want?
But I'm cheap.
Yeah.
So like, we don't have a lot of money. We're about to have a baby. So
yeah. Yeah. Priorities.
It's Lord of the Rings tattoo.
Okay. What is it, like the ring? Is it? What
no,
is
no,
it?
No. It's a fellowship.
Oh, okay.
In black, walking, you know, in silhouette.
Okay.
With a mountain.
On your arm, on your back? Where
right,
are you?
Right here.
Forearm? Okay.
Forearm, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because they can see you dabbing. Yeah. Yeah,
they know. That's the obvious spot. They're like, yeah, that's where we should go.
Okay.
All right. What is
it? You can get it on your bicep, and then the mountain can, like, go up when you flex.
I don't have that much muscles. All right.
You'd have to work out for it.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty weak mountain. It's more.
It's a hill. Yeah. It's the Shire. It's fine.
That's fine. All right. Tattoos.
Uh huh.
Should I get a tattoo? Maybe let's say.
Oh, yeah. Down. Okay.
Okay. So, Leviticus 19:28, this is the anti-verse. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord.
Done.
There you go.
You shall not make a tattoo of yourself.
No, tattoo yourselves, not tattoo of yourself.
Oh, sorry. get my own face tattooed on my...
That's a choice. And I don't think many people make that choice, but that would be a choice. Okay. A tattoo of me on me. All right, what do you think here? This is basically, we got one other verse, but this is basically it.
It is.
I mean, unless you want to do like, your body is a temple. Mm. That's the other one I've kind of heard.
Sure.
But temples are pretty well adorned.
They are. And so, if tattoos are beautiful, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first part of this was don't cut yourself in honor of the dead.
Correct.
Right? Which was a practice in other cultic cultures around Israel at the time, right? So there were these ways of marking yourself in honor of the dead. And this is God establishing, like, that's not how you are going to live, right? It's a relational covenant with me. You're not, you don't honor and pay tribute to the dead. You're on blast, Catholics and your saints, right? Yeah. You don't pay tribute to the dead. You honor me, right? I'm the Lord your God, and you don't make an idol out of the dead, which is what the practice of marking yourself for the dead was about. And then they follow it up with, or tattoo yourself, right?
Yeah.
Am I hearing
the, correct?
So
you could surmise those two things are connected.
Yes.
And so
could and perhaps should
instead
surmise.
Of cutting yourself, you're tattooing yourself in honor of the dead.
Yeah.
Or are they two separate thoughts just shoved right next to one another?
Yeah.
And it might be, you know, because the one before is a separate thought shoved right next to this. Yeah. So like, but here's the one before Leviticus 19:27.
Okay.
Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard.
Sure.
None of us do that.
Sure, because we're not Orthodox Jews.
Correct. All of it, obviously, we're like, that obviously does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
But this tattoo yourself, that one does matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
it gets back to, you know, what we've talked about before, right? Can we pick and choose out of the Old Testament what we should follow?
I think it's easy. Yeah. Again, easy is just say no. So, does Jesus have a tattoo? We talked about this.
Yeah.
Well, in the future, we have talked about this. Yeah. Get ready.
Yeah. Does Jesus, earthly Jesus, walking and, you know, traveling around healing people and whatnot.
Presumably does not.
Yeah. Because he was following Jewish law, and Jewish law would have said, don't tattoo yourself.
In honor of the dead. Maybe it's cool if it's not in honor of the dead.
That's a possibility, but I don't think that was the
Bible doesn't
that.
Say.
Yeah.
Jesus.
People were not going around getting Fellowship of the Rings tattoos.
They didn't have it. If they had it, they'd be like, I want that.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, how many, even now, how many tattoos are in honor of the dead.
That's true.
Just throwing that out there.
Mine is not.
Mine would not be, I presume. But
all right.
None of the temporary tattoos that I've gotten have been on the honor of the dead.
Okay. Jesus, Revelation 19:16. Mm-hmm. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he's got King of Kings, Lord of Lords written on his thigh.
That's basically like having a tattoo of yourself on yourself.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like getting
that's
your own name tattooed on your own thigh.
That is true. That's yeah.
It's a choice, Jesus.
Okay, Jesus. I'm just saying, you know, I bet it's cool, but you know,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
It's got a good font.
I imagine resurrected Jesus is a pretty sweet tattoo.
And he went to a good place. You know, that's one, if you're going to get a tattoo, don't cheap out. That's the That's the real advice there.
That's true. Yeah.
You get what you pay for. Yeah, so I mean, does Jesus have a tattoo? Maybe. Yeah.
According to Revelation.
He's got something written on his thigh.
Yeah.
Is this Sharpie? He's like, wait, hold up. I gotta write this on my thigh real quick.
It's just henna. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's not a big deal.
Yeah. I think like we should be perhaps cautious about tattoos because I think tattoos, like many things, could become idols for us, right? Or we could be using tattoos to pull from other people's cultures without, you know, paying real tribute to what that culture stands for, right? I mean, like, it's like, oh, I like this one symbol and I'm going to take that without like understanding what it all means and things like that. So I think there are definitely reasons to be cautious, but it's not a faith thing. Like, there's nothing scripturally that's going to say don't get a tattoo.
Yeah, if you're a listener and you're like, I think tattoos are ugly, that's fine.
That's fine. You can think tattoos are ugly. Yeah.
I just don't think there's really a strong biblical argument one way or the other.
No one here is going to say the Bible says you have to like tattoos.
Yeah, except that's what I'm saying. All right, let's move on.
All right.
Gambling. What does the Bible say about gambling?
We got trouble right here in River City.
I don't know what that means.
That's it's from the music, man. And it's an argument that, you know, the kids are going to start gambling because they are allowed to play pool or something like that. I don't remember. Okay. They need a band. That was the point.
That's interesting. Okay. Music Man reference. Yeah. I'm going to say this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Get $50 free money when you type in Beyond Sunday.
Is that really true?
No.
Okay.
But basically every podcast, every sports podcast I listen to,
all of them,
has a significant amount of gambling ads.
Absolutely.
Gambling is a thing.
It's a huge thing.
It is, I believe, either it's one or two in the fastest growing addictions.
Yeah.
Pornography is the other.
Sure.
But.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, I don't know. They probably go back and forth. But I was actually just listening to the start of a whole podcast series about gambling and particularly how online gambling has like reshaped the whole gambling industry.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because now you don't need to go to Vegas.
Right. Well, and they basically have developed the algorithm to make it even easier for people to think that they're going to get a good bet and actually be almost guaranteed to lose.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Let's just say the house is going to win.
The house always wins. Yeah. All right.
Even faster now.
But what does the Bible say about gambling?
Oh, the Bible says the house always wins.
That's what the Bible says. So, again, not really all that much.
Yeah.
I got a couple verses here.
The apostles draw lots.
They do cast lots.
Or cast lots, yeah, not draw.
Yeah. Which is basically like somewhat rolling of a dice or...
But they're not doing it for...
drawing, you know, the
short stick. They're not doing it for prizes. They're doing it to determine who the new apostle is going to be.
Sounds like a pretty good prize.
That's fair, but it's not like, yeah, it's not a lottery. They do the soldiers, they throw dice for Jesus' clothes.
They do.
That would be more like gambling.
Yeah, sure. All right, so here's Proverbs 13:11.
Okay.
Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it.
Okay.
When I typed it, when I clicked on the Bible says about gambling on that Google plugin, this is one of the verses that popped
up. So small bets.
Small bets. Yeah. Don't go big.
Yeah. Play the small game. I like it.
All right. And then Ecclesiastes 5:10.
That avoids suspicion too, playing the small game.
He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity.
Yeah. I think that is probably the biggest argument against gambling from a biblical perspective would be the idolatry of money.
Agreed.
That gambling becomes an idolatry or idolatrous act. Yeah. That would be the argument against.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean you can't play poker with your friends? I don't think so, right? Like,
or even could you go to Vegas and like lose like $250? Like, sure, I'm sure that's fine.
I don't think you're condemned forever because you went to Vegas and lost $250.
Yeah, I have been to Vegas and I have lost money and I've won money. I think overall I'm ahead. I've been to Vegas like 3 or 4 times.
Okay. So.
In my much earlier years.
Yeah.
not interested anymore.
Not with your 2.5 children you didn't
back to cheap. Yeah. You know?
Hey, you can stay in Vegas for pretty cheap.
I have stayed in Vegas for pretty cheap. So also much younger years.
Yeah.
Yes. But while I was in Vegas, I remember being like, this is fun. You know, I was young, like, had some disposable income, no kids. Like, it's all entertainment. So it's like, if I went anywhere else, I'd be spending money to be entertained. Mm-hmm. This is the entertainment.
Yep.
But then, like, in one of the bad places that I stayed, that was not very high quality, I did, like, play, like, poker or blackjack next to a guy who was crying, and I'm like, oh god, this sucks. Like,
this is not fun.
This is not fun. This is not the fun 24-year-old adventure that I was looking for. Yeah. This is gambling addiction, and I can't do this. And I had to, like, leave. I'm like, oh god, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
you know, like, it was not fun. Yeah, and so
he was actually crying because he had just won a lot of money. It was weird, but
or like, all the, like, old people on the Rascal scooters on oxygen smoking. Yeah. You know, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think the Bible, I mean, the Bible does not have much to say one way or the other about gambling. But I think you can make a pretty good social, you know, argument against. Like, or at least, like,
I think gambling addiction is the.
Yeah. Like, you got to, and I think it's subtle and it's easy. You got to, like, check it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's really, like, the thing about several of these, right? Because we're going to do alcohol next. Yeah. And I think this can even become true for tattoos to a point, right? All of these can be addictive behaviors, right? And I think that's the real danger and the jeopardy that the Bible would warn against, is anything that becomes more precious to you than following the word of God is a problem. And gambling can do that. Alcohol can do that. Tattoos can do that. And so, I think all of those things from that perspective, the Bible said, don't put anything before God. But none of them in moderation would the Bible say, like, that's inherently evil.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into alcohol then.
Okay.
All right. This one actually has quite a bit.
Yeah.
There's quite a bit of responses and talk about
a lot
alcohol.
Of good alcohol stories in the Bible.
Yeah. So I got a couple verses here. This is not all of them, but I got a couple.
One of the earliest stories of the Bible is when Noah gets drunk right after he gets off the ark.
He does.
Grows himself a vineyard. First thing he does, gets himself drunk.
You know, if I had to spend all that time at sea.
I'm just saying.
It's more than 40 days because they had to wait for the water to see.
They did. So. And then he had to wait for the vineyard to grow. It takes time. That's
true.
Thing.
Yeah. He's committed. All right. All right. Here's a couple of verses.
All right.
Pro and anti.
Okay.
And Christians have used both.
Professionals and amateurs. Got it.
Correct.
I was just kidding.
Anti. Ephesians 5:18.
Okay.
Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit.
So beer's cool.
Beer's cool.
Yeah. That's what happens when you read the Bible literally. Don't get drunk with wine. Done.
Your apple bourbon cocktails?
Liquor only.
Nice. Well, Proverbs 21.
Oh, no. Proverbs.
Wine is a mocker, strong drink, a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise.
Hmm.
So, strong drink, a brawler.
Yeah. But that says don't be led astray by it.
Correct. But also, it's a mocker and a brawler.
Sure. So it's not great.
Yeah. And then Isaiah 5:11, woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may run after strong drink, who tarry late into the evening as wine inflames them.
Listen, I don't know anybody who's getting up early in the morning just to go drink.
Some people.
They're sleeping in from the night before. Whenever they get up, they might be going to get drink. But yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So these I mean, there are others. I will say
this. Sure.
I pulled three from the Christians out there who say you should not drink at all.
Sure, sure.
These are some of the, but there are others. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not an exclusive list.
Yeah,
but
this is probably the one of these that has the most biblical material to pull from.
Absolutely, it had quite a bit. So here's the anti side. You know, what you want to talk about, any of these or any kind of the anti side before we move on to, like, maybe more of a pro or moderate side?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, I'm probably going to lean into even pro or moderate as I read this, but I think all of these point to drunkenness again, right? And so again, I think inherently, the drunkenness, the losing control of your own mind, the putting something else before your relationship with God is the inherent problem, not the drink itself, right?
Absolutely.
So what's our pro or moderate takes?
1 Timothy 5:23. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments.
Sure.
This is pastoral advice.
Pastoral and medical, apparently, yeah. Just put a little wine in there. That's good.
I will say, for the sake of yours,
the water was gross back then.
That's true. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, this has a level of purification.
It does.
Not necessarily maybe the highest, but it has a level of purification.
Yeah. Also, don't water down your wine. Come on. Don't wine down your water. I don't know. That's
Ecclesiastes.
Okay.
9:7. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do.
Love it.
And then Luke 7. 34. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you said, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So this is Jesus speaking, and Jesus is saying, like, yeah, I eat and I drink, and people called me a glutton and a drunkard.
Yeah.
So what do you want me to do? You know, yeah. Like,
well, I think around that verse, he also says, like, I could have come fasting, and you would have said, look at that, you know, crazy person. Like, he's saying, like, nothing that I do is going to appease you people.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you also have the story of Jesus turning water into wine wedding.
Yeah.
Right. You have Isaiah, you have God creating a feast for all peoples in which there will be well-aged wines and something with bone marrow, which apparently is good. Or
I'm out on that. I really don't drink much alcohol anyway, but like, if this is bone alcohol, no, like,
it's two
good.
Separate things.
I'm good.
There's well-aged wine and there's food with marrow. They're two different. It's not bone wine.
Because that's not the ingredient that I...
That's fair, yeah. But yeah, I think, again, you know, drunkenness, no bueno.
Yes.
I think we can say, Bible would say, yeah, don't be drunk. Agreed. You know, drinking, having alcohol, the Bible is less clear on.
Yeah, this one definitely has some contention on.
Oh, yeah.
Amongst the Christians. There are some Christians out there who's like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Welch's grape juice exists because of Christians who said we need an alternative to wine for communion.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, the Welch's guy was a Methodist and wanted to come up with an alternative drink for communion.
Good for you, Welch.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, people would say, like, yeah, Jesus is actually turning water into grape juice.
It's not what the Bible says.
And the cup of the new covenant is grape juice.
Also not what the Bible says.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, again, this is a personal choice. And
yeah,
as long as you're not abusing it or, you know, I think, you know, you do you.
Yeah.
And like also, you know, legality reasons too.
Absolutely.
You
know, drink responsibly.
Yeah.
Follow the rules and be appropriate and, you know, don't lose control of your mind. That I think, again, right? Don't put something before your relationship with God.
Great. Here we go.
All right, what's
next? So we're moving on. Those are more of like the vices.
The vices,
The prohibitionists would be up in arms about all three of those. So.
Yeah.
All right, so now we're going to move to a couple new ones.
Okay, what do we got?
Cremation.
Mmm. That's a weird noise to make after cremation. Yeah. Sorry,
No, bone wine.
let's re-record that. Give me another shot at it. What do you got?
Cremation.
Oh, okay, that sounds interesting. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. That's a better reaction. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
So cremation, the process of having your body burned into ashes after you die.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So what have you heard Christians say about cremation? Because, I mean, like, there's a reason we're talking about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, typically the argument is if you're cremated, you no longer have a body to be resurrected.
I've heard that as well.
That's like that's the primary one that I hear a lot is that, you need a body in order to experience resurrection. You know, we're ignoring the bodies that have decayed over the last 2,000 plus years who are supposedly all resurrected.
Oh, I've got some stats on that.
Okay, yeah, good.
I got some facts.
I want to hear some stats on that. But so, that's the argument that I hear from Christians.
I'm going to tell you this right now.
Okay.
The Bible has very little to say about this.
Yeah.
Like almost nothing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
So,
I don't know that it was really it wasn't a practice in Israel. I mean, Israel buried their dead.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure other cultures didn't, but.
Not all their dead.
Oh, okay. What do we got?
I do have a story.
All right. Let's go. Give me a story.
Okay. So in 1 Samuel, King Saul and his son have been killed.
Okay. Saul and Jonathan.
Saul and Jonathan. Yes. And the Philistines, I presume, could be some army is coming.
Yeah, sure.
And they want to take those bodies.
Sure.
And the Israelites, here, this is 31:12-13. They took down the bodies of Saul and his sons from the wall of Bethshan and went to Jabesh, where they burned them. And they took their bones and buried them under a tamarisk tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. So here we have a burning of a body.
Yeah.
It's maybe the best we get.
Yeah. Like, that's basically cremation. That's what it is. Yeah.
It happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
But they did it in order to prevent an enemy from getting the body.
Like desecrating their bodies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then and when God tells Adam, hey, dust you are, to dust you'll return.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's the ultimate thing is you're going to become dust. Cremation is, I guess, just like speeding up the process.
Yeah. I mean, it's turning you to an ash and dust.
Yeah.
I mean, theoretically, if you're buried, you're turning to dust too, right?
That is correct. Because you'd think like, well, okay, I understand that argument. All right. You need something to rise. How long do you last?
How long have I got? How soon does Jesus have to come back for me to still have a body?
Most people are going to be in for a painful awakening.
Okay.
What do we got? Because If animals do not destroy or remove the bones,
that's step one.
Skeletons normally take around 20 years to dissolve in fertile soil.
So just a regular body, no embalming fluid or anything like that.
Correct.
Regular body, straight in the dirt.
In the dirt.
Not in a box.
Not in a box. 20 years.
Straight in the dirt. You got 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years.
Okay.
So I
if animals don't get to you.
If animals don't get to you. And now I'm going to say like that's probably the vast majority of human skeletons have just been completely gone at this point. In sand, neutral soil, can last maybe hundreds of years. I mean, like, they could last.
Okay.
But
not
but maybe not.
Yeah.
But not indefinitely.
And even there, hundreds of years is not the 2,000 plus years that we're like, you know, presumably.
For sure. Probably not a lot of skeletons from 1,000 plus years ago. Unless
that
they have
still
been carefully preserved.
Like mummies.
Like mummies, people in, you know.
Daddies.
Mummies and daddies. in airtight, like mausoleums thing. Like carefully preserved.
Yeah.
And maybe modern coffin tech. I don't know what modern coffin tech really. Maybe we can extend that process quite long. But the reality is the vast majority of human beings are completely gone from this
earth. This is not theological. This is just me reacting. It weirds me out to think about like me being on the corner of 45 and whatever in a cemetery for thousands of years. Like that. Like
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm going to use what you could need. Burn the rest. And I'm fine. I'm fine with it.
Sure.
I'm okay with being burned. Now, I do have a confession to make here.
Okay.
In the same way that I thought Dr. Pepper was a man, I'm going to be honest. Every skeleton I think.
Is a man?
I think it's a man. Everyone I see, I'm like, that's a dude. Like, I don't know. I don't know. That's my bias. And I admit it. That skeletons are dudes.
I absolve you of your confession.
Thank you. Yeah. I just don't think you see a skeleton. I'd be like, that was a woman. I just don't think it, you know?
I think sometimes I think, yeah, that was a woman skeleton.
Well, he looks like a woman skeleton?
I think so.
She's got like
I don't spend a lot of time looking at skeletons, but I feel like sometimes you can tell.
Sure. Okay. I mean, there are ways to tell.
Yeah. I mean, people can tell. Yeah. Scientists know the difference.
Smart people know. not us, but you know, smart people know. Yeah. Okay. So what does the Bible say about cremation?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. I think if that's a practice you're interested in, I think you can go forward in full faith in Jesus and you're no problem.
Yeah.
If that's something you're not interested in, that's great, too.
That's fine.
Nobody's against it.
But maybe don't make it like a Bible thing. Just say, like, we're not interested. Okay, that's fine. But,
All right. Two more to go.
Okay.
Well, we got one more big one that you know about.
Yeah.
Then I have a surprise one.
I am very... It's like my Christmas present before you leave.
That's true. Don't get too excited. All right.
It's going to be like trash or something stupid.
No. It is stupid, but it's not trash. All right. Dinosaurs.
Okay. What does
the
Bible say,
say about dinosaurs?
Do you want me to guess or like? Okay. Let's see. I know we've got Leviathan, which is allegedly some sort of great sea creature that appears. I know Revelation talks about a dragon, which is dinosaur adjacent. Beyond that, not much. There's a psalm that I think mentions like the Leviathan of the sea and then some beast of the land. I don't remember exactly what it calls the beast of the land.
So there's a psalm. I'll read that one.
Okay.
There the ships go to and fro, and Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there.
Yeah.
So, Leviathan also mentioned in Job.
Yeah.
And also mentioned in Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
God created the Leviathan.
We got a Leviathan.
Yeah.
And it's super big.
Yeah.
Super strong.
Sure.
Its coat is like an armor. This one's interesting from Job 19.
Okay.
Flames stream from its mouth.
Yikes. Okay. Dragon-y.
And smoke pours from its nostrils. So this is very dragon-y.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We got a Leviathan. There's also a behemoth.
Ah, the behemoth. That's the one I was trying to remember. That's the land version of Leviathan.
Yeah. A big, mighty animal that walks on the earth. This one, a little not mentioned as frequently as Leviathan's mentioned like three times.
Yeah.
This one's mentioned once.
Yeah.
So, but it's also from Job. Mm-hmm. God says, look at the behemoth. I made that.
I made that too.
So.
You didn't make it. Sit down and shut up, Job. That's the interpretation of that passage.
Yes. So, yeah. There's a very large land animal and a very large sea animal. God is saying, I made those things. People are saying, identifying, there are large creatures out there.
Yes.
That could just be an elephant or a whale.
Could be. Also could be bones of animals that no longer exist. Right?
That's true.
Like I mean, presumably, they could have found fossils for dinosaurs or other things that had existed prior to them. And they're like, we're trying to understand what this thing is, right?
Yeah. I mean, I believe woolly mammoth and humanity overlap a little bit.
Yeah, but not Woolly Mammoth and Nation of Israel.
Probably not. But, you know, at least, you know, maybe word gets around.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for sure, Woolly Mammoth and early, according to Patrick and Pastor David's understanding of creation and the timeline of the world, which we'll see perhaps does not align with everything that people think about dinosaurs in the Bible. Yeah, Woolly Mammoth and some sort of early humanity would have overlapped. Absolutely.
Sure. So what does the Bible say about dinosaurs? Maybe nothing.
Maybe nothing. Maybe a little.
Maybe a little. But what do Christians say about dinosaurs?
Excellent. This is the Christmas miracle.
I got four theories for you.
Okay. I'm ready for it.
Number one.
Are any of them a theory that I'm going to agree with?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Well, let's just do that one first.
Okay. Number one.
Dinosaurs existed.
Yep.
They lived, maybe not exactly like modern science thinks, because it evolves and adapts, but presumably similar.
Yeah.
You know, and then they all died out, and then humanity rose.
Yeah. And God has been
a part of
the whole process.
So that's number one.
Okay. I'm good with that one.
Sure. Number two.
Okay.
Dinosaurs were created parallel to man in the garden.
Okay.
The flood happened,
uh-huh.
and he created a new ecosystem that they could not live in.
Well, they drowned, for one.
Well, but he had two of each on the boat.
Oh, they were on the boat, too?
Two of every animal.
Okay. I'm just going to go ahead and say, if I'm a biblical author and there were two Tyrannosauruses on the boat, I'm putting that in.
Like, they're babies.
But I'm just like, I'm including that in the story. Like, I'm not leading with like the sheep or whatever they lead with if there are dinosaurs on that boat.
That's fair. Yeah. So I mean, I'm telling you, this is
okay. That's a theory. They couldn't survive.
Did exist.
Okay.
Parallel to man, the flood changed it all.
Too much humidity.
Too much humidity.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, they had.
There's no evidence that any other animal couldn't survive after the flood because of that. Like.
Well. Yeah, but if they died, they were just like the dinosaurs. I mean, like, you know. They needed the water around the world that falls. You know, it's not like rain, according to the floods. You know,
sure,
The heavens open up.
Yeah.
You know, so who knows, right?
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying, you know, this is a lot of weight. I'm just saying this is.
Okay, so they were on the flood or on the boat, but they couldn't survive after the flood.
That is correct.
Okay.
That's one. So that's theory number two.
Okay, I'm sticking soundly in theory number one. That's fine.
Maybe I'll sway you with theory number three.
Let's see what we got.
When God created the world.
Mm-hmm.
When he created man,
yes,
he created an adult man.
Sure.
Adam was an adult made out of dust, not a baby.
That is our understanding.
So when God created the earth, he created an adult earth, complete with tectonic plates.
Complete with a fossil record.
Complete with a fossil record. Complete with, he made a 7 billion year old earth instantaneously.
Just to mess with us.
No, just because, you know, you want a lived-in Earth, okay? You know, like
so that in a couple thousand years, humans could be like, this thing might be really old. Yeah, that's just ridiculous to me. Like, why? If you're gonna make like, I'm not saying God couldn't do it. Obviously, God is capable of accomplishing this. I'm just saying, but why would God do that?
Okay.
I'm not swayed by option three.
Maybe four is gonna do it.
This is the one. I feel it.
There are fossils.
Yes.
And Satan put them there.
Okay. So, of two, three, and four, they're all slightly ridiculous. But this one has the most legitimate argument to me. Right?
Okay. Like,
if I'm going to say that these things are not real, then at least Satan put them there is an acknowledgement of this is a thing that's trying to lead me astray from the truth of God.
Sure.
I think it's bonkers. But at least I'm like, okay. I can allow you to think that this is Satan trying to steer you clear.
Yeah. No. Most of these reconciliations come from, you know, Christians out there who, based on adding the timelines listed in Genesis, Numbers, and the early Bible, have estimated the Bible is around 6,000 years old.
6,024 now, but yeah, sure. Yeah.
I don't know how accurately it lines up with our calendar system, but around 6,000 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that challenges that 6,000-year-old
Satan
theory, they've got to figure out what do we do with it. And so typically the flood is a convenient way to kind of like figure out how to do it. A worldwide flood sets everything in chaos, including sedimentary levels.
All of
fossils, potentially.
Yeah.
All of it just, you know, you can't trust anything. because the flood changed it all.
Changed everything.
So that's typically Christians out there who have to reconcile that. And so they've got to either point to the flood.
Or point to Satan.
Or point to the devil. That the devil put it there. And that the devil and maybe even with scientists are trying to dissuade us.
Yeah. Well, the devil is already clearly in charge of the scientists. No offense, scientists. I think you're great.
All right. So what does the Bible say about dinosaurs?
Maybe nothing.
Maybe nothing.
Maybe a little.
Maybe a little. Yeah. Yeah, maybe. You know, who knows?
I like the Leviathan. When the Leviathan shows up.
It's interesting.
He's a game day player.
It's some interesting stuff. I mean, might be a dragon. I don't know. Like, it has fire in its mouth. That's classic dragon That's behavior. Cool stuff. Yeah.
I dig it. All right. What's my surprise? I've been waiting all episode for this.
What does the Bible say about unicorns?
This is, I actually know a little bit about this because there's a translation in the King James version, right? That has.
You are correct. I'm very impressed.
Is it from the Psalm?
In the King James version of the Bible.
Yeah.
There are several times when they translate something as unicorn.
Which we think probably means rhinoceros or something like that now, right?
I got an example here.
Okay.
I didn't list all of them.
Okay.
But yes, so only in the King James version.
Yeah.
So here, King James Numbers 23:22, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of a unicorn.
Hmm. So unicorns are very strong here.
Yeah.
I like it.
And then this is the NRSV. God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox.
Well, that's disappointing.
Yeah, less cool.
But wild ox would definitely have some strength.
Yeah, it's a strong creature.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so the King James Version has unicorns in it.
Yeah.
Several times. Yeah. I think like seven. So,
for what it's worth, there are a lot of people who think that the King James Version is the version that was handed down by God.
I know.
So there are a lot of people out there who think that unicorns are real because they're in the Bible.
They're in the Bible?
Yeah.
In the King James Version.
In the King James Version.
Yeah, so obviously like a horned creature.
Yeah.
And King, you know, whoever really translated the King James Version.
Yeah.
Maybe Shakespeare. That's the rumor.
That Shakespeare did it?
Yeah, he was part of it.
I never heard that rumor.
He was adding some flowery language to it.
Sure, making it purty. Yeah.
But, you know, we don't even know anything about Shakespeare. So, yeah, like, sure. Even if he's a real human being. Yeah. So. And so they translated unicorn a couple times.
Okay.
So.
So the Bible, frankly, has more to say about unicorns than it does about tattoos. That's the takeaway from this episode.
The King James Version.
Yeah.
I mean, again. So let's say, Bible, let's recap here.
Okay.
What does the Bible say about tattoos?
Not much.
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about gambling?
Probably not, like, good to be addicted to it. Actually, definitely not good to be addicted to it, but
the
Bible doesn't say a lot about it.
Maybe not much about gambling, but a lot about love of money.
Yes.
And that's, and so.
Definitely gambling adjacent, yeah.
What does the Bible say about alcohol?
Be careful.
Yeah, it's got a lot to say about this one, but yeah, mostly be careful. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say about cremation? It's nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. What does the Bible say about dinosaurs?
Maybe.
Nothing. I mean, yeah.
Nothing. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but there are large creatures.
Yeah.
According to Job.
Yep.
Could be elephants. Could be whales. Could be dinosaurs. Probably.
I'm going dinosaurs.
Could be a dragon. You know, it's it breathes fire.
Yeah.
And what does the Bible say about unicorns?
King James Pro.
Yeah. There you go.
I like it. Well, this is fun.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patrick.
You're welcome.
Well, as we bid Patrick farewell, we are going to have about 2 months worth of a pre-recorded episode as an episode content coming out. So if there's like crazy stuff happening in the world, you probably won't hear about it here on Beyond Sunday. But we might pop in with a fresh episode of something in case something goes down. But know that we are continuing to prep for what's going to come in the new year. We'll pray for Patrick and for his family as they experience the joy of a third child, and for all of you as we move through this Advent and into the Christmas season and the new year. May this be a time of blessing and joy for everybody.
I checked the poll.
Oh, okay. Did it change in the last 45 minutes?
It did.
Okay.
On Facebook, we're now up to 14 votes.
Okay. Am I getting closer?
I have 9 of those 14.
Shoot. I'm going the wrong direction. Yeah. People, I know turducken is the downfall, but I have the mashed potatoes.
You have 3 votes.
I'm the one with the mashed potatoes, people.
Two. Yeah. There you go. So,
more people need mashed potatoes in their life.
Yeah, and I'll check on Facebook, on Instagram again.
No, it's fine. You don't need to.
It's exactly the same. It hasn't changed.
You don't need to further destroy my spirit. But hey, you can send us all your thoughts about unicorns and how the Bible should incorporate them more. You can send them at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. You can also send us well wishes for Patrick and his baby. We'll pass those along too.
Thank you.
And you can find all of our episodes, which are also pre-recorded, at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Yeah, none of them are live.
None of those episodes are live. We're new.
We're not just waiting for you to log on.
We've established that, yeah.
Okay. All right, thanks for listening, buddy. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday, and in a few weeks with more current event, yeah. Beyond Sunday.
Yeah.